discerning the spirits. We're going to look at the spiritual gift of wisdom. We're going to look at the spiritual gift of knowledge. And I do believe that there are some of you who are listening to me right now who do have this, but for some reason, call it intimidation, call it what you will, you're just afraid to move out. But as you move out, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we're going to see a lot of things happening in our church. So the first is the discerning of spirits. Let me give you a definition of what the discerning of spirits is. It's the ability to distinguish right from wrong, truth from error, and to give an immediate evaluation based on God's word. It's the ability to discern whether the source of this experience is Satan, self, or God. And you understand those three dimensions. When somebody is doing something or saying something, we observe, well, is that person doing it as a result of a satanic influence, or is the person speaking out of his own mind, or is he speaking out of God? So that's what the definition is. What discerning of spirits is not is suspicion, it's not criticism, and it's not discerning the faults of somebody. That is done by the accuser of the brethren. So what it is, the discerning of spirits, is when you see or hear something, you are discerning whether or not it is false or whether or not it is true. And in the early days, the false teachers were everywhere. In fact, even today. Examples would be this. And we're not going to turn to the scripture, but I'm just going to tell you the scripture references and give you three examples for each one of these three spiritual gifts that we're going to be looking at tonight. An example would be in Acts 16, where Paul and the slave girl. Now, we had this girl who was a fortune teller, and she was following Paul everywhere he went. And he was saying, oh, this is really good. Believe in Jesus. She was saying all the right things. But instead of letting her be a charter member of the church, he turned to the girl and he commanded the spirit to come out of her, because she was speaking error, and Paul had the discerning of the spirits. Second example would be Paul and Bar-Jesus in Acts 13. There was a guy, Sergius Paulus, who wanted to turn a particular person away from the faith. And so he was saying, you know, you shouldn't follow. You should follow. It was just such a messed up thing that Paul just finally turned and said, in the name of Jesus, I command that you come out of him. Because Paul discerned a false spirit. And third example is Peter and Emmaus, the sorcerer, in Acts chapter 8. Now, this guy had been baptized, but his mind only had been baptized. And so when he saw Peter laying hands on somebody, and something must have been seen, like, for example, speaking in tongues, something visible was left, he said, you know what? I want to buy what you've got so that I can use it. And immediately Peter realized that this guy was false teaching, and he said that the bitterness, you're captive to bitterness, and you are captive to sin. So the purpose of this discerning of spirits is what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, that reads like this. Dear friends at Morrow Bay Four Square Church, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. So John is telling us in 1 John that we have the ability to discern, and some of you have had experiences that way. For example, Nancy, I remember many years ago, was at a small group, and a man came in, and the minute the man came in through the door, Nancy discerned, this guy is false. What he's going to say is not what he is not. It's not right on. So we do have that this ability to have the spirit of discerning of spirits. You can discern or you can test whether or not a spirit is of God by these three ways. First of all, observe what a person does. Jesus explained that false prophets are known by their fruit, by their conduct, by their actions. And secondly, observe whether or not a person exalts Jesus Christ as Savior, as the Son of God, Lord and Savior of the world. And the third thing is by listening to what a person says. Does their confession line up with the truth of God's word? Now, in a study of these spiritual gifts, this is probably the one that might be the hardest to explain, but I think we can nail it down with just this one sentence. When a person speaks, make sure that before you accept, you know if it is lining up with the word of God. Now, the second spiritual gift is the spiritual gift of knowledge. Here's the definition. The divine ability to bring truth to the church, this the body of Christ, through a revelation or a biblical insight. And some of you here tonight have that ability, this word of knowledge. It's a supernatural revelation. I'll tell you what it is not. It is not natural. It's not fortune-telling. It's not the ability just to make good sense. It's not simply knowing something. It is in your heart. You have this word of knowledge that it's a gift that only God could give you. And the methods of how a person actually moves into this gift of knowledge are these. For example, sudden inspiration within one's spirit. A person can move in this direction through dreams, through visions, through an audible voice. And so through these methods, a person can have this word of knowledge and move in it. Only once have I ever heard the voice of God. Some people say they have, and when they say that, I cannot say they haven't. But it is rare, I would say, that anybody has actually heard the voice of God. But I took off a couple of days to be by myself, and I went to a seaside above Monterey, got a motel, and there I was going to be with God. And at that time, out of my office, we were running a statewide runaway hotline called 1-800-KIDS-AWAY. And I used a call diverter so that different people could be on call 24/7. And by doing this, the people could work at their home. So I was just careful that every 8 hours I would transfer the 800 number to that person's home number, and that way they could answer the phone. So I'm at this motel. I'm sleeping at the middle of the night, obviously, and all of a sudden I hear Neil, and of course it got my attention. I heard it twice, Neil. Well, I Neil. I fell out of the bed. I fell out of the bed, prostrate on the floor. I don't know what's happening. And then I had the word of knowledge. And through this experience, God says to me, you didn't change the call number. The person who was on the previous 8 hours, their phone's still going to ring. And so I immediately got up, and I could do it by remote, so I transferred the number. But this, I thought, was an illustration of how I got this word of knowledge, and it came through one of those examples. Sudden inspiration within one spirit, dream like Jacob had, vision, the voice. Now, three examples in the Word of God where a person moved in this Word of knowledge. First of all, Nahum, when he had this Word of knowledge about David and Bathsheba. You know, there was not an email or any way, a note that he got. He got this because God revealed to him through the Word of knowledge. Second example is in Samuel, where we read in 1 Samuel 9 and 10, David was out looking for his father's donkey. You remember the story? And Samuel said, through a word of knowledge, that where the donkeys are and how you're going to actually find the donkeys. Actually, it will be a word of knowledge coming through a time of day when he would meet with Saul. So the word of knowledge has been going on, I guess, since the beginning of time, but especially through the wind of the Holy Spirit in our church. Peter, in Acts chapter 10, received a word of knowledge while he was on the housetop. Remember that story. So the purpose, the bottom line is this. the special ability to teach believers the principles and methods for making practical applications of gospel truths in their life or in other people's lives or in the church as a group. That's the purpose. That's the word of knowledge. Yes.
I think a good example, too, some of you have seen Dick Williams, who plays guitar and ministers. Mm-hmm. And the Lord will give something. And Mario Murillo, when you look at Mario Murillo, oftentimes Mario would say, now there's a woman in the third row in a blue dress.
Right, right. Temporary example, and a lot of you maybe have had this strange inspiration. Where does it come from? The word of knowledge about Tom, Dick, or Harry. And then you get enough guts to go to Tom, Dick, or Harry and say, you know, excuse me, but, and then tell them what God is revealing to you through the word of knowledge. In other words, this spiritual gift of the word of knowledge helps one to look into the heart, look into the mind, and look into the nature of a person, and like to know their secret things that are happening to them. It can be scary at times. The third spiritual gift we look at tonight is the word of wisdom. How I need wisdom. Definition, the divine ability to apply spiritual truths effectively to meet a need in a particular situation. Now, what the spiritual gift of wisdom is not, it is not something like you're just being led by your natural mind. It is not psychology. It is not simple wisdom. And it's not just for preachers or for church leaders, but it's for guess who? For us all to be open to work in with God with the word of wisdom. And again, what it is, it's the divine ability to apply spiritual truths that you get. You have this wisdom. Now, the Bible talks about the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the world, and the wisdom of man. We have familiar wisdom, and then we have this God wisdom that comes to us. And when the word of wisdom comes, it always is accompanied with meekness and gentleness. There's a difference between the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. The word of wisdom works with the word of knowledge, and it works with the discerning of spirits. And the word of wisdom cannot be gained by study. You just can't open up a book and get spiritual wisdom. You can get your natural, material wisdom. But the methods are these. It comes by dreams. It comes by visions. The still small voice. The audible voice. Hebrews 11:1 says, God speaks in many ways. So he does speak to us. For example, in James chapter 1, verse 5, it reads like this. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So if you lack wisdom, you ask God. Moving in the things of the Spirit, God will just drop it on you. He will drop this wisdom. And then we need to follow through. Now, when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, we're talking about, we'll call it things, that God has put into the church to help the body of Christ. Now, Jesus put the gifts of the Spirit in the church. Man has taken the gifts of the Spirit out of the church. Why has God done it? Well, God has put it in the church for a reason. Why has man taken it out? Well, there's for a reason. We don't want to offend people. We say, well, what are people going to think if this happens or if that happens? Or, in the case of many, in an attempt to grow big churches, we have let the world come into the church. And we've diluted the church. And we've diluted the effectiveness of the church. And this organ that we have here that we're trying to play is going to be based upon the Spirit of God. But let me just read Colossians 1:9. It says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom." It's a spiritual gift, a spiritual gift of wisdom. Some examples. I like Solomon. Remember the story when the two ladies both claimed the baby was there? It's such a cool story. And I don't know what you would have done, what I would have done, but King Solomon did just the right thing. But he did it as a result of having a word of wisdom. So he brings the baby in. He brings the mothers in. "I'm the mother." "No, I'm the mother." "No, yes, I'm." "No." "Okay, bring me a sword then." He brings the sword. The baby's displayed between the two mothers. He says, "Well, since you say you're the mother and you say you're the mother, well, I got an idea. This is divine wisdom. We'll cut the baby in two." The sword is brought. I can imagine the tenseness of the situation where the sword is picked up and is about to cut the baby in two. But one person, the real mother, cries out, "What? No, stop." Now, how in the world did King Solomon come across such a great plan like that? Oh, chapter 5, verse 3, or on page 945 on the scroll of his copy. No, no, it came divinely to him by God, which is a good example. Elisha is another example. He told the Moabites that were coming to capture them, and so he called for a minstrel to play music, and as the minstrel played music, he got this word of wisdom, which was, send some people out, dig some ditches. They went out, they dug ditches, the ditches filled with water. And the next morning when the enemy woke up and came to the area, they saw the water, it looked like blood, and the two kings that were together, they thought they had killed each other. And were they ever surprised when they got closer and found out that the army was coming against them? So, to take a small rabbit, I think maybe that's why background music is so important in times of ministry, because it was this word of wisdom that came to Elijah when he had this lady playing the guitar, or playing the harp. As the lady played the harp, the wisdom came in. And the third example is this. Paul, and we read in Acts 27, he was on board this ship, and the ship was about to sink. And he had a divine inspiration of word of wisdom, which was contrary to what the people were experiencing. He said, "Guys, just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. The Lord has told me that not one soul will be lost in the storm." So those are just some examples. Now again, the purpose of this third spiritual gift, the word of wisdom, is the ability to apply truth effectively to meet a particular need. So we got to get rid of the old habit of just limiting God, because in Colossians 2:3 I read, "In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And some of you here tonight, you have that ability to convey to others an insight or an understanding of God's gift. And I guess the conclusion would be simply this, that we might engage some way with an open mind, an open heart, to receive the wind of the Holy Spirit to move in these three particular gifts as God moves upon us. And I want to encourage you, when you feel that tug in your heart, to move. And when you hear something in your mind, just don't cast it out and say, "Oh, that's just because I ate those Cheerios or something." No, no. It's not a result of anything except the Spirit of God moving upon you. And I just thank Jesus for the wind of the Holy Spirit in our heart. And I guess the bottom line is this. Let's just give the church back to its owner. Amen? Give it back to Jesus. Let's stand and pray, may we? Father God, we stand in your presence this night thanking you that we can be the church. We are the church. And the church has only one head, and that head is Jesus, the head of the body of the church, of which we are. And each one of us standing right now in your presence and in association with one another, we are part of the body. We've got elbows, toes, we've got legs, we've got arms, we've got ears, we've got eyes. We're all part of the body. And as we move in body movement, the Central Coast right here would say that they've got something. What is it? And they would say to one another, let's go see God at work. And I just pray, Jesus, that you would bless each of us to realize that no matter who we are candidates to move in the position that you've given us. Spiritual gifts or no. But if it is true, you've given each one of us a spiritual gift. This admonition from this speaker tonight is that we would seek with all of our heart to find that gift and then to utilize that gift for the glory of God. And then from this group would be played beautiful music to us. So bless us now as we leave this place. If there are those who want further prayer, I pray God they would come forward for the prayer. But as we leave, help us to know that you're already where we're going and that you love us and you've called us. And we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless you. The Lord bless and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you peace and give you courage to move in the Spirit. Wednesday night, if you're free, come on over to our house, you know.
Yeah.
Just drop in.
I think I will.
At 7 o'clock, good. You don't have to be part of the Alpha group, in other words. Just drop in.